between when we start and now, we have some new faces. And so I want to welcome you all here today. If I haven't met you yet, I'm Pastor Ralph. I'm the lead pastor here at Highway and one of the pastors here. And it's a joy to be able to minister God's word. I just have a couple things to share with you, and then Pastor Sue is going to share some announcements regarding next Sunday and some events that are coming up very, very, very soon. You go backwards past Malachi and Zephaniah and Zechariah, and when you get to a little book called Habakkuk, put your finger in chapter 2. Because that is going to be our primary message, our primary passage for today. I have been so excited to be able to come today and begin to share this brand new message, this series that I've entitled, Can You Hear Me Now? And already when I see that, you're probably envisioning in your mind the picture of a gentleman with a cell phone in his hand going from road to road, city to city, county to county, asking that question, can you hear me now? How many remember that TV Verizon commercial from a few years back? Well, today we're going to share for about 6 weeks what it means to hear God speak. Did you know that God wants to speak to you? And you may say, why would he want to speak to me? Well, but we're going to answer that question. Some may ask, well, Pastor, don't we have the Word of God? What else do we need? Yes, we have the Word of God, but there are so many ways that we read from God's Word that God wants to reveal himself and speak to us so that we know his voice. Some of you may be thinking today, well, you know, Pastor, I know what it means. I've been saved enough now. I know that. Well, listen, whether you have been saved a long time or you are a new believer, whether or not you are from seminary or you have never opened a theological book, no matter how much that you may or may not know from God's word, this message is for each and every one of us because God wants to speak to you. Hallelujah. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord, you're going to take this word, and Lord, Holy Spirit, you're going to open our eyes and ears, and you're going to anoint our feet that we would respond to you as we hear your voice today speaking in Jesus' name. Amen. First question I want to address today is, are you aware that God wants to speak to you? Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long distance communication, a young man applied for a job at a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they are summoned to enter the inner office. The young man filled out his form and, with the others, sat waiting for his name to be called. After a few moments, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. They muttered to themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming. The job has been filled." The other applicants were grumbling and confused. One spoke up saying, "Hold on a minute. I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job? That's not fair." And the employer said, "Well, I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." All of you heard it, but did not understand it. This young man did, so the job is his. We live in a world filled with clatter and noise and bitterness. Since coming back from COVID, it seems that the busyness of life that we knew before the restrictions has come back full force. People are more distracted than ever and seem to be unable to hear the still small voice of God as he speaks to him. What about you? Are you tuned in to God's voice? Do you hear him when he speaks to you? Are you even aware that God wants to speak to you? Well, today as we begin the six-week series, we're going to answer several questions. Today we're going to answer the question, does he speak and how? How can I know the voice I'm hearing is God? Or is it my mind? Or worse? What about the Bible and the Holy Spirit and those impressions that come into my mind? Is that God's voice? Is it possible to hear from God regularly and it is not spooky or weird? We're going to look at each and every one of these questions over the next several weeks, because this is a series that is for all of us. Why are we doing this series now? Well, for several reasons. Number one, I've shared with several people, and I just want to share with you all that since COVID began about 3 years ago now, God opened up the way for me to be part of an online mentoring group of pastors that is focused out of Steinbach, Manitoba. It's called Church Renewal. And during the last several years, I have been meeting with groups of pastors on Zoom, and we have been studying God's word and what it means to hear God. We have been listening to hear God, what real, true renewal is all about. And I have been asking God since we've started, Lord, when can I share some of these insights with my church here? And I felt especially in the last few weeks since we came back from Christmas that now was the time. We have been experiencing some wonderful moments in God's presence as we gather together on Sunday mornings. We have seen growth in our church and expansion of our ministries. And I think if there's ever a time when we as a church, as a people, need to know what it means to hear God's voice, it is now. Because a church renewal doesn't come through programs, through policies, through anything that we will do, it will be as we commit ourselves to God and hear his voice. Thirdly, over the last several weeks, I've had several people come to me asking me to pray for them concerning situations in their family, in their marriages, with their children, asking the question, how can I know what God's will is? Well, we're going to learn to hear how to find God's will. And then there have been others who have come to me and said, Pastor, I don't know if God can use me anymore. I think my days are done. I used to be very vibrant for God, but now I think it's time to sit back. Listen, I think if there's ever a time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and get involved, it is right now, regardless of how young or old you are. And no matter where you find yourself in life, whether you have known the Lord for years and you've reached that place of thinking that maybe your days are done, you need to hear God's voice again speaking to you and revealing to you what he has for you to do. If you are young today, I want you to know that you don't have to wait until high school or university graduation to figure out what God wants. The time to discern God's plan and purpose for your life is right now. And God wants you to know that you can hear and recognize his voice. And it's not spooky. It's not weird. You can learn to discern God's voice between the Holy Spirit, between the pizza you had last night, or from the enemy. So that's why we're doing this series. And the scripture that I want us to look at today is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I will stand up my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Now, one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do as we go through this series is to take out your smartphone, your tablet, or electronic device, or maybe a good old-fashioned notebook and a pen, because I'm going to give you some homework. Homework in church? And some of you are already going through PTSD right now. You have the picture of your math teacher from high school in your head. Relax. I'm not going to ask you to do a PhD thesis, but I all want us to be on the same page, literally. And so if there's ever going to be a time for you to take notes, a series to take notes, and it's going to be this one. And I want to give you tools to help you on your journey of loving God and loving others. And the essential tool in this journey is to recognize and obey God's voice speaking to you. Now, probably when I say that God wants to speak to you, what goes through your mind? What do you picture in your mind? Some of you, this is probably one of the most misunderstood phrases that Christians use. A lot of crazy things have been done in the name of God told me. For example, the young single man in church who was praying for a wife. One Sunday morning, he came in and people were greeting one another, and he looked at the very back and he saw this beautiful angel. Blonde, long hair, blue eyes. And he knew that God said, this is your wife. So after service, he found her and he said to her, sister, I've got to let you know I have been praying. And when I saw you come in, it was like an epiphany. I heard God say to me that you and I were to be married. The young woman just simply replied, thank you, but you better pray some more because he hasn't spoken to me yet. So that following week, the young man went home and he prayed and he fasted and he prayed and he fasted and he came back on Sunday and he met the young lady and said, sister, God has said to me in an audible voice, we are to be married. She just looked at him and said, thank you, my brother, but what will we tell my husband? When you hear the phrase, God told me. Does it excite you? Or do you raise an eyebrow and begin looking for the back exit? And I have to admit, even as a pastor, when someone says, God told me, I tend to be a little bit skeptical. Because I want to know, how do you know it was God and not the pizza that you had at the youth party the other night? When the question is asked, does God still speak today? The answer usually falls in one of two camps. The one camp would suggest that God no longer speaks in the way that he did in the Old Testament or in the New. That when the last apostle died and the book of Revelation was complete, that was it. We have God's word. We need nothing else. There is no supernatural revelation. There's no supernatural because God is finished with all that. These believers are referred to as cessationists. They believe that the spiritual gifts are no longer in operation today as they were once. I am part of a group, and this church is part of a fellowship that believes that God indeed still speaks today, that the supernatural is still in play, that God still has not stopped doing miracles and revealing himself. God still speaks, and he wants to speak to you through the word by the Holy Spirit. And the point throughout this series I want us to realize is this: you can hear from God because the Spirit is active and the Word is alive. Can you say that with me? You can hear from God because the Spirit is active and the Word is alive. So let's unpack this for a few moments together. The number one thing I want us to hear is that you can hear from God because the Spirit is active. In fact, we read throughout Scripture how God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible, for it is his written word. God speaks to us through his word. Now, there are those who downplay the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes to reading the Bible. There are those who would say all we need are commentaries, the Greek lexicons, the Hebrew lexicons, and we just need to earn a degree, then we can understand the Bible. But I'm so glad today to be able to share with you that though I have a degree from Master's College and Seminary, and Lord willing, at some point before the rapture, will finish, complete my master's, we don't need that to hear God's voice. None of these are bad. We need to study sufficiently. However, it's interesting that the people in the days of Jesus who knew the scriptures, who were studying in the scriptures, who had the equivalent to doctoral ministries like the Apostle Paul, they were the ones that missed Jesus. You see, Scripture cannot be properly understood apart from the revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We look in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, to see how the Spirit revealed Jesus to his servants. For example, Mary was told by an angel. Joseph had a dream. The shepherds heard it from angels. The Magi followed a star. Simeon and Anna were both told where to find Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The most striking absence at the manger were the Bible scholars of the day. And Jesus repeatedly said that the Holy Spirit is essential in truly understanding his word. For example, in John chapter 14, 25, all this I have spoken while with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Luke 10, 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit fills us with joy? When we were in the prayer room earlier, we heard people coming in, and I heard the laughing, and I heard such joy. My friends, it's okay to be joy-filled in the house of God. The Holy Spirit, when he fills us with his joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus, full of joy, was full of the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. My friends, that's me. I'm so glad he's revealed himself to me. I'm so glad he's revealed himself by the Holy Spirit to someone like me. Yes, Father, for this was for your good pleasure. And then you'll remember when Jesus rose from the dead, Luke records how two of the disciples were walking to Emmaus, and along came Jesus. However, they were kept from seeing who it was. And Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Oh Lord, help us by the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to open our ears to what his word is saying to us. I pray that for each and every one of us today. I pray that in my life. I pray that in Sue's life. I pray that in my kids' lives, that God by his Holy Spirit would reveal himself and lead them to Jesus as they study and read God's word. God wants to speak to you through his word. Because you see, not only is the Spirit active, the word is alive. Aren't you glad for that? That this is not just a textbook. It's not a rule book of rules, of do's and don'ts, but it is the living, inspired word of God. Hallelujah. There are those who would turn to 1 Corinthians 13 to support their idea that God does not still speak directly to us apart from the word. For example, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, and when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Folk, there will be a day when prophecy, tongues, and the other spiritual gifts will cease. But when will that be? Paul says, when perfection comes. Well, what does that mean? Cessationists say that perfection refers to the completed canon of Scripture. They say that the speaking gifts authenticated the apostles' teaching and were necessary until the Scriptures were complete. But now that the Bible is complete, we no longer need the gifts of the Spirit. However, Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to define what he means by this perfection. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. What I believe Paul is reminding us of is that perfection comes when we see God face to face. He is giving an eschatological view. He is speaking to the future. When Jesus comes, then we will know. There are things in this life right now that I have questions. I have studied God's word, I have prayed, and I still have questions. But you know what? I can be encouraged because God's word says there will be a day when those questions will be answered. I can have the confidence to know that when Jesus comes, when I am with him face to face, I will understand it all. And I will have an eternity to figure it all out. The Bible clearly shows us time after time that God spoke directly to people. This was evidenced in the early church and down throughout history. People like Augustine, Francis of Assisi, Martin Luther, John Wesley, George Mueller, Andrew Murray, C.H. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, David Wilkerson, and so many others all testify and write how they had this relationship where they knew God's voice. We sang some great hymns this morning, and among the great hymns that we have sung in our churches, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. All the way my Savior leads me. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Just to mention a few that testify that as children of God, we can expect and desire for God to speak. These additional and I want us to be very clear today. These additional revelations do not compromise or stand alone from Scripture. It's a different type of revelation. The Bible reliably fixes the boundaries of what God will ever say to humankind. So that when I have a young person who would come into my office all starry-eyed, that they have found the love of their life, and I learned that the love of their life wants absolutely nothing to do with God, the church, the Bible, or a relationship with Jesus, and I sit them down and going, hold it, you say God has told you, but this is what God says. He'll never contradict his word, but he'll always point us back to Jesus. He wants to speak through the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak through the Word, and he wants to speak through listening prayer. How does it all work? This is where we put meat to the bones. This is where hearing God's voice becomes practical. And there are those sitting here this morning who are hearing this message, and you fully understand what I'm getting at, because you regularly hear God speaking to you. You've gotten into a practice of listening to God, and so you're able to discern his voice. And there have been some of you who have spoken to me, and because of my respect to you and your relationship with God, I take note. And then there are also those listening here today that have no idea what I'm talking about. The whole idea of hearing God speak to you sounds not only foreign, it sounds weird. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing this series. I want us to know that hearing God's voice is to be a regular, normal experience for the child of God. So how do we hear God? Well, we hear it through listening prayer. Look back at Habakkuk chapter 2, and let me read the scripture again. I will stand at my watch and station myself in the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Let me share with you five practical things that we are to do to begin to set ourselves apart to God. Number one is withdraw. I will station myself on the ramparts. It's a choice we make. We need to be intentional. If you want to hear God speak, you have to not only desire it, you have to make the choice that you're going to say, I will station myself. And to do that means to withdraw. To hear God speak, the first thing you need to do is to get alone in a quiet place. Now, I know for some of us, Pastor, I've got little kids. I've got grandkids. I've got a job. I've got this, that, and the other thing. Listen, I know we're all busy. I get it. But somewhere in our day, either early in the morning or at night before we go to bed, is there that place and that time that we can set aside to say, God, I'm just going to quiet myself before you. And as soon as you do, be careful, because the enemy is going to try to distract you. But you need to make the choice to find that place to be quiet before God. Luke 5:15 says the news about Jesus spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus sets a beautiful example. Friends, was there anyone more busy than Jesus? Come on. After being with 5,000, feeding 5,000 people or more, he still found a place, quiet and alone, to just be with his Father. And when we withdraw to that quiet place, we wait. I will stand at my watch. This simply means, I'm going to wait until I hear something. That's it. And folk, it could be the longest 60 seconds of your life. Because that's how often we will wait. If God doesn't answer right like this, then we're off to do something else. Can I challenge you, as you take that time to withdraw, that you also take time to wait? Because waiting takes time. It's difficult to calm down in a hurry, but we can't force it. Have you ever tried to force yourself to sleep? It doesn't work, does it? We need to take time to wait. And as we wait, we watch. I will look to see what he will say to me. The key word here is look. It's an important key in hearing God and understanding his voice. Have you ever been in that place? And it's happened to me a few times, where I have been in that quiet place, withdrawing in God's presence, waiting on him, and then a picture of something comes into your mind. I know some of you have shared some of that with me. It's happened to me a few times, and I've often asked, God, what on earth does this mean? And sometimes he shows me right away. Other times, I have to wait several days, weeks, or even months before I understand the picture that God put in my mind. But we need to watch. We need to wait. We need to withdraw. Ephesians 1:18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What does Paul mean when he says the eyes of your heart will be enlightened? Of course, he's talking about our spiritual eyes. The heart speaks of the source of life. That in our very, very inner being, we would not just hear, but we would see God's hand working in our lives. Fourthly, that we would write. Write down the revelation and make it plain. We call this journaling. Now, I've got to let you know something. I'm going to make a huge confession. This is still the hardest discipline for me. I have a journal at home. It comes in a beautiful leather cover that someone made for me. And I will start every year starting to journal. But then it pairs off. Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult. But can I challenge you just to keep at it? If you've never done it before, start. Why not start now? Why not even start in this service as I have been sharing with you? Maybe there's been something that's been coming into your mind, a picture, a word, a verse. Write it down. Write down what God may be saying to you today. And as you write, worship. Habakkuk Chapter 3, verse 2 says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. After hearing God's reply, Habakkuk responds through worship. He says, now that you've spoken to me, he says, I want to express my love to you. God wants to have a conversation with you. And here's the thing. It's not just a time where we write by rote. No, he wants us to enter into a relationship. It's like the best picture I can think of is this. Imagine me going to the library. And I pick out a book. And it's got a beautiful picture of a beautiful young woman. And her name is Sue. And everything in that book tells me everything that I could never know about Sue. And as I read that book, I read it from cover to cover, and I'm absolutely amazed. And then after reading that book, I make the decision, I am going to marry Sue. I have never met her. I have never taken her on a date. I just know from that book, I'm going to marry Sue. Now, how crazy is that? But here's the point I'm trying to make, my friends. Too many Christians treat their relationship with God just like that. As long as they do the rules, as long as they read the books, as long as they go to the Bible studies, as long as they get to know about God, that's all that is required. But we all know there's a difference in knowing about Him and knowing who He is. And folk, I could read all of the books in the world about Sue, but when I got to know her after we went on that first date in Peterborough during Bible college, and later on, man, I got to know the real Sue. And I fell in love with her. And we found out not just the things that we had in common, but the love that we had for the Lord and our call to ministry. And we wanted to be together because we experienced our love together. And when it comes to hearing God's voice, we do not simply want to hear a message today, accept it, but we want to know the God who's speaking to us. And there are three places where people are today in your relationship with God. You can believe in God, which is the lowest form of relationship. You can be acquainted with Him, which is a little bit deeper. Or you can be His friend. Jesus wants that kind of relationship with you. He says, I want to call you my friends, where we commune together, discuss together, dialogue together, converse with each other. God wants to be your friend. You can hear from God because the Spirit is active and the Word is alive. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and join me back on the platform as we get ready for a time of prayer. But I want you, if you've got your notebooks out, your phone out, I want you to answer some questions for yourself. Some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, I've never heard God's voice. First of all, let me tell you, His voice doesn't sound like CCB DeMille or Charlton Heston. No, but you will recognize His voice. In fact, He's been speaking to you all week. Did you know that? He's been speaking to you since the moment you got up, had breakfast, got dressed, and came to church this morning. How do I know? Well, let me ask you if you have ever experienced any of these six things. Number one, when you made your initial decision to follow Jesus, what happened in you that made you think or feel you needed to do that? Just write down a simple answer. Secondly, has there been a time when a Bible verse you read maybe 1,000 times before, but now all of a sudden that verse was directed at you? Have you had a thought come to you that helped you understand a passage in a way you didn't before? Have you heard a sermon that really seemed to be directed right at you? Have you ever felt a prompting, a nudge, or an urgency to do or not do something? Folks, that's something I am still learning to give heed to in my life and ministry. Are there other ways in which God has spoken to you? A dream, vision, an audible voice, or any other way? And folk, if you can say yes to any of these six questions, you have probably heard God's voice. And now what are you doing with it? And next week we'll talk about how we cultivate God's voice. But here's the homework I want to share with you. As you find that place to withdraw in His presence, as you find that place to be alone and you're ready to journal and you're ready to ask God, do these four things. Very simply. Begin your listening prayer time with thanksgiving and praise. You can look at any of the Psalms, particularly Psalm 100, verse 4. But just begin with thanksgiving. You could just say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, it's finally spring! Whatever it is, just begin with thanksgiving and praise. Secondly, just ask God a question. You may want to ask God, what do you think about me? That's a big one. God, what do you think about me? And when you ask that question, write down any thoughts that come. And then fourthly, write down a response. Write down a response. This is where we begin. And each week, I'm going to be just encouraging you to do this. In the communique, I'll be having a reminder and an encouragement for us all as together we learn the journey of what it means to hear God. Now, before we take some time to pray, I do want to extend an invitation to anyone here today. You've never, ever, ever begun this journey because, well, you don't know him. He wants you to come into a relationship with him today. And it simply begins with a very simple prayer. I'd like us all to bow our heads today. If you're here today and you know that you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not in that place where you know him, you may know about him, you may even study the Bible, you may even have a degree, but you don't know him. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me from your heart. Lord Jesus, I want to receive you today. I believe you died on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I admit I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I'm inviting you to be mine right now. Come into my life, forgive my sin, live in me as my Lord and my Savior from now on. Please help me hear from you today and every day. Praise God. I'm going to ask us just to remain seated, and OT and the team are going to lead us in a worship of one song. And I thought if God gave us opportunity, we'd have a time to pray with people around the front. And we may still do that, but I think the priority right now is God wants us just to take that time to withdraw in his presence right now, right where you are, right in your seat. And let's allow Holy Spirit to speak to us today.